You know, it's gotten so expensive recently. Bikinis. It is so hard for me to find a bikini that I enjoy that's not $100. And recently I learned about Quince. I found this red bikini that I've been wearing nonstop. It's all over my TikTok. I have an Instagram photo in it. And in total, top and bottom, $50. Go to Quince. They partner directly with top factories. Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. For $100, I got a bikini top, a bikini bottom, and then slipper dupes for a very popular Australian slipper and boot brand that you're probably familiar with, and the quality is perfect. So get warmer weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Lexi for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Lexi, L-E-X-I-E, to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Lexi. Hello, hello, everybody. I'm Lexi Lombard, your host of the At Lexi podcast, and thanks for tuning in to this week's episode. I have done spring cleaning to the 10th degree. I have gone through every belonging. And let me tell you, I don't know if you know this about me. I'm sentimental. I'll say it. I keep things for the undesigned, yet to be built archive. We don't have a space. I don't have a house. I definitely rent an apartment. And I have moved 7 times in my adult life, 7 places. To be carrying my elementary school backpack, my blue camo L.L. Bean backpack with my name engraved on it. Why has it made it so far? I really thought this is going to be iconic. It'll be so good to bring hiking. Anytime I've gone hiking, I don't bring that bag. I bring something in better shape. It's still in great shape. Shout out to L.L. Bean for their lifetime warranty, but I was holding on to it for what? It had to go. I also purchased this backpack during my grandfather's funeral with my cousin, and I thought it was so cool, and I painted Big Lex Dog the Freak on it when I was probably 18 or 19. Same thing. That's come with me to every single place that I've lived, and I have not put that on my back in years. But do I keep dragging it around? Absolutely. I had to get rid of it on my own terms. I've done cleans, you know. I'll get an influx of PR, or maybe I'll go shopping, and if I go shopping, what goes in needs to create space, and to create space for new things to go in, time to look for things to discard. But I have not, in years, gone through section by section, skirts, dresses, tops, coats, tried each piece on. In the last week, I have tried on every piece of clothing that I own. Every pair of shoes, every bag has been put on my body and decided, do I want it or do I not want it anymore? It's a hard process. The only way to do it, in my opinion, is with a friend. I had a friend in high school that would do this with me. My mom would help me do this because when it comes to getting rid of things, decision fatigue will slow the process down to the point of exhaustion and burnout, and then maybe you don't finish. This time, my friend Tyra was the one. I would just walk into her room wearing said piece, say yes or no. She would say yes or no, and it would go. I think I vetoed it maybe 2-3 times max. We've done this in the past where she'll say, you should donate that. And I say no, and then she'll say, you should donate that. I say no, and it's a very unsuccessful system. This time, I had reached my wit's end of clutter and would rather have the space for something new or the space for just air than to have my closet stuffed to the brim with things that I don't like. I am not and will probably never be a minimalist, but I do think that we should only own things we want. I don't think in this life we need to own things we don't want. Seems pretty self-explanatory, but think of some things that you own. You're like, I actually don't want this. I would love to not have it. If it randomly got lost, if someone stole it, I may be arguably thankful. If that's the case, give it away. See if a friend wants it. if not just donated. I've also gone through the process of selling things, which if it's got great value, if there's resale value, absolutely, go ahead, sell that. Get on Depop, get on Vestiaire, go to Wasteland, go to a consignment shop, The Real Real, and there were pieces that I did that for. But if it's just a pair of jeans that you bought and you thought you would wear and it was just a bad purchase, you know, it's a sunk cost situation, which was what I actually found to be arguably more difficult than the sentimental pieces, was the sunk cost pieces where I had purchased a dress that was gorgeous, but it just didn't look right on me. It didn't fit right on me. And I had to admit that it was a mistake. It was not my best purchase and I had messed up buying it. That's okay. Free yourself. Let it go. Getting over the sentimental hump was hard for me, but what really helped me this time around was speaking to my mom. I imagined myself having a conversation with her. For example, I have my mom's bathrobe. I've yet to part with it. That was one of the items that I want to let it go, but I haven't yet. But I know that if I was talking to my mom and I said, I don't really want your old bathrobe, but I have it, I know she would look at me and say, Lexi, let it go. Go get yourself something you want. Get rid of it. I can hear her now. Get rid of it. Let's go shopping. Let's get something new. Which, as I'm saying, I don't necessarily even need something new. I have other bathrobes. But she was not sentimental about items. And I, for some reason, have it in my subconscious that if I am to rid myself of items, I will rid myself of that chapter, that story, that memory being real, or having the potential of having that memory lost. Which is why I held on to these things. I didn't want to let the memories go. Therefore, I was not willing to let the items go. I'm reading a book. It actually has nothing to do with cleaning, but I have been listening to it, and my brain has only thought about it really in terms of belongings. We'll get to the book later. It's actually about falling in love. But my brain was like, we can think about this in terms of items. This book's saying, free up your emotional space for love. And I heard it as, let's free your physical space for love. And I would rather have the space to become the person I want to be than have my space cluttered with items of someone that I once was. Now for the book. It's called Calling in the One, 7 weeks to find the love of your life, something along the lines of that. I've been taking notes on it because there's been some quotes that have stuck out to me. One of them being sort of a synopsis of what I just gave you. The space in which we live should be for the person that we are becoming, not for the person we were in the past. In order to fully fly, you have to give up the floor you're standing on. Which, totally, the thing about beautiful little cliche quotes is they're vague enough to apply to whatever scenario in your life. You could put this in terms of a job. If you're at a job you kind of like, but you'd rather be at one you love, in order to fly, you have to give up the floor you're standing on. The truth is, each gain in life is the loss of something else. Then I heard the author say, this is probably not her quote, I'm listening to the book, but normally at the beginning of each chapter, there's a quote from someone else to ring in the topic of the new chapter. And one of them was, my barn having burned to the ground, I can now see the moon. Oh, I love that. You know, you have this thing that you think means so much to you, and then losing it brings on something even more beautiful that you couldn't see otherwise. My barn having burned to the ground, I can now see the moon. Another one. Every day a little death, which is so up my alley, but maybe a little bit morbid. I love thinking of that, but that one feels maybe more specific. But I'm doing my long walk around my neighborhood, listening to this book, taking notes. I have quotes that I love. I have little journal prompts, things that I want to release, things I want to embrace. It's been helpful. I got over some hump of the self-help. I thought it was so cringy at first, but I like to have the positive mindset and perspective in my ear, literally. A woman is whispering in my ear, speaking in my ear, the same way I'm speaking in your ear right now. just about possibilities of what we can do for this life, and I think that's helpful for me. So maybe check this out. You know, I love my little signs. I believe in the universe with my full chest. And there was one part of this book where it was speaking of things to release. As I was writing down in my notes what I need to release in order to bring in the one, I get this message on a dating app with this guy that I guess I was talking to back in February, maybe even earlier than that. And he said, "Do you want to go on a date now?" Like, universe, you cheeky little bastard. I'm like, do you want to join me around the reservoir? Other things that I'm learning. But the really big one was the material item purge. I still want to go through the kitchen and the bathroom, but the bedroom and the closet are looking incredible. They are in tip-top shape. The deck is next. I want to do a full revamp because, as the quote said, the space in which we live should be for the person we are becoming, not the person we were in the past. You know who's another past version of me that's gone right now? And I hope she doesn't come back. Is the girl who just would buy snacks. I would eat snacks all the time because I was so lazy to cook a meal. You know what it took for me? It took for me to take a little trip to the farmer's market. And then there's a little specialty store nearby my house that effectively picks out all the best things from the farmer's market and then has a shop that you can buy them at. I've been going there. I've never been so excited to eat snap peas. I see cucumbers in the fridge and am thrilled to cut them up and eat them. Tinned fish, salmon, it's just so high quality, it gets me excited to eat it. So I'm looking in the fridge the same way that I was looking in the pantry for popcorn, for, I don't even know what I would snack on. Whatever, popcorn's a good enough example, where I get a little peckish and I think, okay, let's find something to munch on, and I'm just picking up dry goods in the pantry that are snacks. Now, the person I want to become eats foods from the ground. It doesn't need to be all or nothing, but I was just not eating that many fruits or vegetables at home or nice quality proteins. I was eating out a lot. Actually, oh, we're going to talk about my money journey on the Patreon. That's what we're going to talk about. I was thinking about that on the way here. I don't have a juicy section that I want to talk about privately. Money, that's what it's going to be about. Okay, brief little parentheses for what I'm talking about. This is my third week having a Patreon, and one of the things included in my Patreon is an extra 30-minute long episode, and in those extra 30 minutes of each podcast episode, you receive a juicier, more personal story that I wouldn't necessarily just want open to the public. And if that's of your interest, you can totally check it out. I'll put that in the show notes. There's other offers as well, but in terms of if you want to hear that story, there's going to be a link in the show notes where you can listen to that. I need to make a mental note, money. But the person I want to become has really fresh food. The person I want to be is eating garden vegetables, in-season foods, fresh food. And yes, fresh food is pricey, but the amount I was spending on not fresh food, probably just as much. So this was a good swap for me, and I love that. I love that! I'm in such a peaceful chapter of my life, let me tell you. Hello. I feel very at peace right now. This is the most at peace I've felt in memorable time. And that doesn't necessarily mean I haven't been happier in the past or more excited in the past, but not necessarily at peace. There have been more fun times in my life. This, I would argue, is not the most fun I've ever had in my life, but by far and large, the most at peace I've been. And I concluded this from one of my friends talking to me all about this person that we're adjacent to that's potentially a sociopath, and he's in a really toxic relationship with this other girl that we know, and it's leading her to spiral in a really poor way, and another friend of ours is in the middle of it and has been up until 6 a.m. talking to the guy on the phone, calming him down. These details get so much worse, but as my friend was telling this to me, I just thought, wow, I'm so happy to not be involved in this right now. I have had dramatic, toxic, confusing, upsetting, disturbing chapters of my life. This, right now, right here, not one of them. When I was hearing this girl talk about it, I said, OPD, that is other people's drama. And my friend was actually having the opposite reaction. She's like, God, my life is so boring. I need a little spice in my life. I said, you can have it. I don't want it. There's a chapter a lot of us face where we think healthy is boring, peaceful is dull. And if you need the chaos to stay stimulated, by all means, learn that lesson on your own. I have learned it. I would rather not. I know that life is going to life sometimes, and there are going to be uncomfortable, disturbing chapters again. If I'm not having one right now, I'm going to thank my lucky stars. Let me focus on my business. Let me focus on my health. Let me focus on my space. Let me go do some good for the world. I don't need these distractions, nor do I want them, because they're going to be inevitable. Life brings them to you. No one gets to bypass them. But I am not going to seek them out. That is no longer an interest of mine. I'm looking for easy, light, breezy, healthy space to bring in things I love. I would rather not waste my time with other people's bullshit, because I will have my own bullshit one day. And let's appreciate the break. Side note, I was wearing a leather jacket and I think you could hear it sort of moving in the background. So if that was irritating you, I took it off just in case to be safe. So that's that's on that. So that's been what my week has really been about. I had a friend's birthday, two friends' birthdays actually this week. Everyone's a Gemini. One of my best friend's birthdays is on Monday. Three friends actually, one was out of town, but three friends had a birthday last week. I don't know if June is one of the most popular times to be born or if I just love Geminis. Either way, feels like it's birthday season. One friend, we had a little wine bar and cake moment. And then the other friend, we went to Malibu, a little outdoor picnic. I also went to Malibu another time last week. One of my friends had a baby and I love her baby. I would argue that I've made friends with this baby. How can you be friends with a baby? I don't know. I do not interact with babies often. Besides this baby, I could not tell you the last baby I interacted with. I didn't know if I would be good around babies. I'm much better around adults, senior citizens, people on their way out of this world as opposed to people just beginning it. However, I've met this baby once before. Loved her. Thought maybe it was just a good day. Because I thought, wow, she's in a good mood. My friend's like, no, she's just like this. Like, she's just staring and smiling. She's perfect. And then I decided to spend more time with her last week. Went over. Perfect. Perfect baby. Look her in the eye. She's like, hee hee. Like, she's so cute. She's amazing. I love her. I love her. This is a whole new experience for me. Getting to know babies. Getting to know one baby. I cannot wait until she's a little toddler and then she's a child and then she's a tween. I can't wait to watch her grow up. I'm really excited. This is a different sector of life I'm not familiar with, because I know a lot of people, they have little cousins, they had little siblings. They worked around children. Not me. Nope. When I'm speaking to a child, I have to go back into my memory of when I was in second grade and think about what I was thinking about then. That's my point of reference. So I made friends with a baby and then also got to go to the beach in Malibu, because that's where baby lives. Then I spent the weekend doing that birthday party. Also went to the craziest, and by crazy I mean Black Mirror. What would I call it? Maybe a festival? A festival, I suppose. I almost don't want to say the name of it because I don't want to be associated. Now, this is not GovBall Coachella Festival. This is just a random Calabasas festival that I guess happens once a year. And I'm from Virginia. I've seen the preppy people get dressed up for the horse races. I love it. I've been to the Hamptons. I see the preppy people go to the beach. You know, I know the New England, the East Coast, the Southern prep. I know all sides of that. I don't know California prep. It's a little scary to me because you have these modest dresses on women with giant boobs and really filled lips and filled cheeks, and it's everyone looks too plastic. And I'm not above filler and Botox. I've done both. It's that you see those things before you see the person. I wasn't seeing people. I was seeing implants. I wasn't seeing body parts. I was seeing filler. And the men, oh my God, the men, there were little mirrors and photo ops around. Men just checking themselves out in the mirror over and over and over again. It was, that's the most ick I've gotten in one setting in such a long time. Later online, I saw that the Selling Sunset people were there, if that paints a picture, like the type of person. Yeah, my friend and I went there before the Malibu birthday party. Because, you know, you have to drive through Calabasas to get through Malibu. Very glamorous weekend I had. So strange. So strange. I was like, we got to get out of here. Thankfully, my friend was on the same page. We're like, not our crowd. Off we go. And then on Sunday, went to the farmer's market. And this whole week have just been, oh, I also got dinner with my friend and her mom and my other friend. And oh, if there's one thing about me, I'm a sucker for family time. If you invite me to hang out with you and your family, that means more to me than anything in the whole world. Hanging out with your baby, hanging out with your mom, hanging out with your cousins, that brings me more joy than any gift ever could. Or that's a better gift to me than any material item. I swear to God, that is the key to my heart. Introduce me to your perfect family, or to like the family, no one's perfect, but like the family that you love with your whole heart. That's everything. That's everything to me. So I did that Sunday night. That's all I've got on my end. Let's get into your questions. Every single week I ask on Instagram. My handle is Lexi, just like the name of this podcast. 4 questions. You ask, I answer. So let's get into them. But first, a word from today's sponsors.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
WTF Frida asked how to get back to yourself when feeling off. I mean, even in good chapters in my life, I always will have a few days where I feel off. Just to start off saying that. Like, even at my best self, I still will have days during the month where I'm like, not loving. Feel a little off right now. Could be the weather. Could be a scenario that had happened. Could be hormones. Could just be nothing. But if you've been finding yourself in a scenario where you've been feeling off more often than you've been feeling on, I would have an honest chat with yourself and just say the truth, whether it's in a letter, in your journal, out loud while you're driving in the car alone. You could think it in your head. What's been going on? And they could be the things that you've been afraid to say out loud, because they might be, you don't want to admit them, or maybe they sound silly. Let me try to think of some examples. I find that examples are a lot more helpful than just speaking generally. It could be something Like, I've been feeling off lately because I haven't been getting enough sleep. And I'm also really frustrated at my friend who I lent $100 to. They said they would pay me back. It's been months. I have never seen that money. And I still see them. And now I feel awkward bringing it up. Also, I've been drinking too much coffee. It's making me feel anxious. It's been affecting my sleep. I've been saying I really want to read this book, but it's just been sitting on my nightstand and I haven't touched it. And I'm mad at myself every time I see it for not having finished it, let alone not having picked it up enough to even really get started into it. I've also been wanting to hang up these curtains, but here they are just sitting on the ground. And I'm also mad at my mom for the way that she looked at me the other day. You know, they could be little passing things, but almost saying them out loud, it paints a picture of your current stasis, and you can start to see these small things that you haven't maybe admitted to yourself because they don't seem significant, but then if they pile up, you kind of can paint this picture. Or they could be things that are a lot more severe than that, that once again, you haven't been admitting to yourself. But I honestly think that when feeling off, getting a visual of the moment is a really helpful first step. Elisa asked for summer book recommendations, please. Okay, I gotta go to Storygraph because that's where I keep my list of all the books that I've read. I just finished Desert Valley by Melissa Broder. Enjoyed it. It's dark humor and it's about grief. So I think there's a select few that might want that, a select few that might not. I just began the ACOTAR series, so if you want to join me on that, I'm on the first book, A Court of Thorns and Roses. And then, as I said, I'm listening to Calling in the One. If the books are different enough, I'm able to read multiple books at the same time. I really enjoyed Green Lights by Matthew McConaughey. He's just an American boy, and it's like a hot, fun Texas man. Depends how big of a man-hater you are, because I feel like he's quite the epitome of one. I loved it. I really enjoyed it. I need to have a book club. It's a shame that I haven't before. It's only a matter of time. But for example, going back to that first question of what to do with your feeling off, in a conversation with myself, that could be something that I could admit to myself. Like, I'm really bummed that you haven't done a book club yet. Also, I'm upset with myself for not having written a book yet. I told myself I would do it in my 30s, and I'm not in my 30s, but I've had the time. I definitely could, so I'm bothered that I haven't done that. Big Swiss is also fun by Jen Began. I haven't even told you what these books are about. Okay, Death Valley. Let's start from the top. So sorry for not doing this. I just assume that everyone keeps up probably with the same algorithm that I do. Not necessarily true. Death Valley, Melissa Broder. If you like Otessa Moshvick, feels in the same vein with this more human female protagonist. Like, she's not all pretty and glitzy. Like, she's got her flaws. Feels more relatable. Her husband has a chronic illness. Her father is in a coma in the hospital. And she's an author trying to write her next book and takes herself to Joshua Tree in the desert to spend some days alone at the Best Western. And the way that she talks about the Best Western, I actually stayed at one recently and she talks about it perfectly. All the random geometric shapes and the mediocre continental breakfast and the pool. But she starts going on hikes and she discovers magical cactuses and talking rocks and bunnies. And it's a little bit of a fever dream, but a fun little story. And then ACOTAR is a fantasy series where you have this poor family in this world because there's fairies, and then they call, I think they call them fae, like the high fae, which is short for fairy. I'm 100 pages in, just for context. And we have a father and three daughters living in this poor home in the human section of the land. And they truly cannot make ends meet. I'm not giving a spoiler. This happens within the first chapter or two. But the youngest daughter, who's our main character, she's out into the woods trying to hunt for food. And she shoots this wolf. Turns out this wolf was a high fae in disguise. and suddenly the other creatures have an issue with her and they come and steal her away. And that's sort of where the whole story begins. So that's about where I'm at. And I think it's going to get pretty juicy. Then we have Big Swiss. Oh no, I talked about Matthew McConaughey's Green Lights. That's his memoir. It's a nonfiction memoir. He's just an adventurous man living in Texas with his brothers, with his mom and his dad. And then he spends some time in Australia. And, you know, then he's in Los Angeles working as an actor. He's got some fun stories. I listen to it. I like listening to celebrity memoirs just because I like to have them read it to me. And then Big Swiss is contemporary fiction. Story takes place just outside of New York City. I think it takes place in Hudson. So it's this artsy town for the people that love New York City but don't want to actually be in the city. And she works as a sex therapist transcriber. And she becomes obsessed with one of the clients. Try those out. Take them for a spin. See what you like. Aww. This person wants to know how to deal with losing your platonic life partner. I don't know if this is in a symbolic loss, you've grown apart, you've had a platonic life partner breakup, or if they passed. Either way, that's really hard. I'm thinking of my best friends right now because I'm single. They are my platonic life partners. They are the people that I speak with that keep me afloat, that keep me sane, that keep me supported and loved, and I would be lost without them. So if I were to have a breakup or lose one of them, it would be devastating. That being said, my faith is strong to believe that there is someone new that will make its way in, but grieve the loss, grieve the loss. Oh, this is a fun question. Lightening up the mood. Jukia, that was a question from Yaritza. But Jukia asked, at what age did you feel like the hottest version of yourself? Honestly, right now. This is the hottest I felt in my skin in maybe my whole life. I really like my hair right now. I like my body, my skin. I was confident growing up. I was always on the leaner side. I was a late bloomer. And because I was a late bloomer, I hadn't hit puberty, therefore I didn't have acne. So I spent the first half of my high school experience with good skin. I was thin, conventionally cute. And then I stopped playing sports, got depressed, got acne, went through puberty, then got on birth control, went vegan, got off of birth control. My weight was all over the place. My skin was all over the place. I was trying out all these different hairstyles. My brows were a mess because I had really thin brows that were overplucked. And then everybody knows the 2015-2016 brow on fleek trend. I was a victim of it. And then I chopped off all my hair, had acne, had filled my lips with filler way too big. Ugh, I think back, and I was really experimenting with my style. I looked cheap. I love this girl. I love all the versions of myself. I'm just thinking in terms of feeling hottest. I would argue, though, during these times, I felt hot. I just look back, and I'm like, meh, I don't know. I don't know about that. But throughout the years of adulthood, I've learned more about my diet. I've learned more about my skincare. I've learned more about my current journey as my hair care. And with each of those steps, I think I'm looking a little bit better. So today is the hottest I've felt. This is a great question. Lila wants to know, how can you tell the difference between burnout and depression? There's got to be a Venn diagram for this. Because there's different types of depression. You have clinical depression, and that's, you know, more biological, more chemistry-based within your brain. And then you have situational depression, which looks a lot like burnout, because burnout is circumstantial. It's situational. The most on-the-nose answer I can think of is if you're on vacation, in the sun, in the ocean, with your friends, still no joy, I would think it leans depression. If you go on a vacation, you're at an all-inclusive with your friends, you're on a road trip doing something that you love, and it restores you, maybe you are suffering more from burnout. Macro Denim asked, how would you give advice to a friend that doesn't know what to do with their life? I mean, I even know adults that don't know what they want to do with their life. In that way, we're all on our own path. We're all on our own timeline. I would say make sure you don't care more about you having this friend figure out what they want to do with their life than they care about figuring out what they want to do with their life. If this friend has no clue because they have so many passions, suggest they pick one. Try it. See if it works. If they love it, amazing. If not, move on to the next one. Like, make a list of the ideas that they'd want to pursue and find the one that they want to try. Because you can do everything. You just can't do everything all at once. Now, if they have no idea because nothing interests them, then maybe they should just get a job where they can save up money and then use that money to travel around, explore, and see if anything sparks. Would you rather be an ant or an anteater? Neither. I guess anteater because they probably have a longer life. But they're really, like, crazy looking. This is from Madsfern. Ants are cuter. Like, if there was a bug to be in my house, if I saw a bug in my house, second to a ladybug, ant. I'm like, you've got a fun little shape going on. An anteater? I don't know. I do not know. But I think for the sake of getting to live a little longer, the anteater. Ooh, the frolicsome fairy asked for my current skincare routine. Oh, allow me to tell you. Step one. If you are wearing makeup, take it off. Once you wash it off, put on a little serum. Let it soak in. I've recently gotten on the snail mucin trend. So after my serum, I'll put on the snail mucin. And then I'll put on moisturizer. And then in the morning, I put on moisturizer with SPF. The serum that I use right now is the Genifique from Lancome. I love it. So pricey, but I love it. Also, I'm not using this right now because I have humble brag PR right now that I can use. But my favorite moisturizer is the Sleeping Mask from Fresh. I just use it as a nighttime moisturizer. I swear my skin always looks top notch when I'm using that, but I'm going through other stuff first. But I like using, I sometimes use a vitamin C too. Let me break it down. The things that are important to me, because I also use tretinoin and I didn't bring that up. The basis of my skincare routine is making sure I'm not leaving makeup on for too long. I want my face to be moisturized as often as possible. I want to avoid it being dry. And then as for serums and treatments, I like using antioxidants, so a vitamin C. I like a hyaluronic acid. And then for the quote-unquote anti-aging, I use tretinoin, which is, I believe, a retinol or a retinate or something in the terms of that. And then I also use a BHA AHA exfoliant once a week, and that's by Paula's Choice. Yeah, the things I've seen the most difference in out of everything that I've tried is the Paula's Choice. I put that on a cotton pad after I wash my face and use it like a toner, and then I'll put on a serum and a moisturizer. That I can tell when I'm using versus when I'm not using. Also, moisturizer. Using moisturizer twice a day, three times a day, I think is shown dramatic differences in my skin, and then taking off my makeup. Those are the three things that I've done the most. Also, tretinoin. I don't have acne, and I think that's really done it. I'm also on birth control, which also helps keeping acne at bay. Danny said, have you ever been to Montreal? I feel like you would thrive here. I haven't been to Montreal since I was probably 7 or 8 years old, but I do remember loving it. I love Quebec. I should have gone while I lived in New York. Now it's a bit of a longer travel experience to get there, but I do think I'd like Montreal. If I was an inanimate object, what would I be? I'd be a book or the sun. That was a question by Ella. Cinnamon Juice asked, favorite summer meals to cook? Okay, so I've been all about the cooking and making food lately because I've been going to the farmer's market on Sundays. And then it makes the beginning of the week so much more exciting because I'm so excited by what's in my fridge. I've been loving bagels. If I'm doing it open-faced, I'll do cream cheese, and then if I have tomatoes, I'll do an heirloom tomato and some flaky sea salt. If I'm doing it sandwich style, I either do just cream cheese or I'll slice up cucumber and put chunky cucumber slices in it. So good. I love taking blackberries and I'll mush them up in a bowl so it feels jammy, and then I'll add yogurt to it, pumpkin seeds, and granola, and that's a great little snack. Been eating a lot of tin fish. I love Fishwife's tin fish. They have a chili salmon. I like their spicy tuna. Here's another brand of tin fish that I really like. I forget what it looks like. It's a little bit more rectangular in the box. More muted colors. Less attractive font, but I love it. I love it. Also been eating salmon, like oven or pan cooked. Then for some lunch salads, I love doing a mixed green, slicing a snap pea diagonally in half. Been trying to communicate this. I need to make a TikTok about it. You can slice things the way that you normally slice them, or you can slice them in a sexier way. There's always a sexier way to do things. Cut your cucumbers on a diagonal. Cut your bananas on a diagonal. Your carrots, etc. Your snow peas. Snow peas, snap peas, whatever the big ones are, those are the ones that I like. Do a mixed green, chop it up, okay? Salads are so much more fun to eat if you chop them up. Get a good dressing, you can make your own, or go splurge on a nice, fun one. Even though the splurge one is probably going to be like olive oil, lemon, garlic, salt, pepper, like very simple ingredients, so maybe not. But then get a really good fruit, so stone fruits in season. There's these amazing strawberries called Harry's Berries that are really sweet. Just a brand of strawberry, and they are like a farm. They're really sweet. So today I did that. The mixed greens, the snap peas, cucumbers, strawberries, and then like a goat cheese that I crumbled with some pumpkin seeds. That was easy, delicious. That wouldn't taste as great on the go. I guess you would just have to bring the dressing separately and do the prepping ahead of time. What else have I been liking? Broccolini as a side. I just got sunchokes. That's what I had for lunch. I did the salad, the tin fish, and then I chopped up sunchokes and pan fried them in olive oil and butter, salt and pepper. So simple. Great. Also another easy one, kebabs. I haven't made those for myself, but that's what we used to always have weeknight dinners in the summer. Putting some chicken, a bell pepper, some red onion, a mushroom. Put them on skewers, roast them in the oven, or pop them on the grill. Easy. Favorite part of summer? It's simple. It's the long days. Because people say, oh, you live in California now, it's summer always. Okay, but part of summer is the long days. It might be warm here in November, but the sun is still setting at 4:30 p.m. And I am not happy about that. I should answer this girl's. Carla said, I always miss these. OMG, first, love the podcast. Also, favorite classic album, song for the summer. Favorite classic album. Like, I don't know. Classics. Different. I'm like, from my childhood, I grew up on Sheryl Crow and Shania Twain. So that feels like summer music to me. But I've been listening to some heavy white people barbecue music for sure. Like I said last week, I was like Fleetwood Mac, Paul Simon, Joni Mitchell. But I think Jungle makes really great music for summer. You know, like Heavy California, Back on 74, Happy Man. Also during the summer, I always love listening to Slightly Stupid or Sublime. Oh, what was the one that I listened to in high school? I think they were called Air, Fresh Air Movement, but I think it's spelled A-E-R. Aww. Yeah. I don't know, some Bob Marley, Brown Eyed Girl. Like, think that music. That's summer. Yeah, so go make those foods. Go listen to those songs. Go enjoy yourself. I hope you're listening to this while you're outside. That would make me so happy. If you're on a walk, sun shining on you right now, oh, that would be music to my ears. So thank you so much for listening. If you want to hear a story about my recent experience with money and finances and what it's been teaching me. Go listen on Patreon. If not, I'll see you here next week. I'm on TikTok. I've been super active lately. I'm on Instagram. Stories every day. But the podcast is my fave. So I'll see you guys later. XOXO, Lexi.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.